If you are somebody who experiences bouts of anxiety or someone who has chronic anxiety, I really can't stress enough how much your nutrition and movement can impact your anxiety levels and your just overall happiness. Working on this part, this inside our body part, you'll be amazed how much your quality of life improves.
Welcome to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast. I'm Rae Ann Mullins, your guide on this quest to a vivacious life. Join me as we uncover the keys to ditch inflammation, conquer fatigue, and stride confidently towards a harmonious, health-filled existence. This podcast is your compass to a balanced and fit lifestyle. So get ready to elevate your wellness game and embrace the vibrant, high-quality life that you deserve. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast. I'm Rae Ann Mullins, your host. And like I tell you every single week, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, I am super happy that you're here. This week, we're going to be diving into something that I hear a lot about from my clients and from friends, but also experience myself. We are talking about anxiety. Today, we will describe, you know, what anxiety is, how it can impact your life physically, mentally, and emotionally. We'll talk about how nutrition can impact your anxiety, and then I'll give you a whole list of ideas to help you reduce or manage your anxiety if you have it. So I wanted to talk about this this topic this week because last week was my husband, Brian, his birthday. And we went away for his birthday. Every year, we go to our favorite little town in North Carolina, which is Asheville, North Carolina. I just said little town, but actually it's grown quite a bit and there's a ton of people there. But we love it. It's like our home away from home, and maybe someday we'll live there, at least part of the year. So anyway, we go every year, and it's my husband's request that for his birthday, we go there because he loves beer. And there is, if you've not been there, there's a bunch of breweries, craft breweries, and they're really good and fun. And there's good food and there's always music places. And we just love to, you know, well, we love to stay downtown and just walk everywhere because when you're drinking a lot, it's, you know, better to go walking instead of driving. So we do that. We also love to go stay like out of town too, but usually for his birthday, we make it all about like hitting the breweries and just indulging. But his request, I started to tell you, is that I not worry about food, because even though he's super supportive of me and my gluten and dairy-free lifestyle and being super aware of what I eat and how I move, he is on board 1000%. But what he loves, though, is to not worry about it all the time. So one weekend a year, I, you know, just allow myself to drink beer with him, which, by the way, has gluten. So I was not gluten-free this weekend. And also, we go to some restaurants where I can get gluten-free food because, just so you know, you can always find gluten-free foods. It's an excuse if you say you can't. And I know this because I've been living this way for a long time. But what I did this weekend and what I do every year on his birthday is I look for gluten-free foods. But if I want to, I might have like a regular bun on a hamburger, or I might get like cheese on something, or I might order something that has like melted cheese. And instead of asking for no cheese, I just kind of let it go. Like, I don't make a big deal of food. And that is what my husband wants for his birthday, is for me to just be like old times. And the cool thing is, because I take care of my health 90% of the year, is that 90%? I don't even know. What is like 2.5 days out of the year I just kind of let go. But that's probably not quite nice. It's probably more than 90%. But anyway, I just go with it because I take care of myself most of the year, it doesn't really bother me that much. In fact, I'm happy to report it is several days later. Usually by day 3 or 4 after having gluten or dairy, I feel some kind of pain, or I have like, you know, joint pain or skin issues or something going on. But this year, I knock on wood, I actually am not feeling anything. So I'm hoping that this is a good sign. So anyway, my whole point in telling you all of that is that while we were away, I was waking up in the middle of the night with extreme anxiety, like waking up, heart pounding, sweating, mind racing, full of doom, like crazy amount. Like, I don't know that I've been this bad for a really long time. So I was, you know, waking up like worried about the animals, like horrible things. Like I was thinking like horrible things, like I'm not even going to repeat them. But then I was also worried about, well, honestly, dying. Like, I'm not sure why. I just had this like horrible feeling. And I would wake up and just this feeling like maybe I was going to die before getting home. And if that happened, what would happen to the dogs? Who would take care of the dogs? You know, the kids and like who, like all these horrible things. And really no reason to feel this way. You know, I mean, I wasn't worried about anything actually happening. And, you know, honestly, like I normally try to stay super positive, and I know that we are prepared for this type of thing. You know, if something bad were to happen, I know that financially and legally we're set up and everything's okay. But still, in that moment, in the middle of the night, waking up, feeling like this horrible, like just in my chest and my stomach and just like terrified feeling, like just, I felt horrible. Like it just was really crazy. So I've been thinking about it a lot. And I'm like, I actually know people that feel like this all the time. And I can't imagine. And it's really funny because I had that happen. We were gone 3 nights, and 2 of the 3 nights I felt like that. The final night I did not feel like that. So I don't know if I just maybe got more comfortable in the space. I don't know. But you know, as soon as we've been home, I have not experienced it again. But it made me think, you know, I felt horrible. It was a horrible feeling. And then I didn't sleep well because I kept waking up feeling like this. And then it just, I don't know, it just wasn't good. So I feel really sorry for people that feel like this all the time. And so I thought, let's just talk about it. Okay. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is a natural response to stress or a perceived threat. Okay, so like, I guess my perceived threat in the night was that I thought I was going to die. And that was definitely the ultimate threat, right? At the end of the day, I think that's the thing we all fear the most is, I mean, I'm not really scared of dying, but I'm not really wanting to die suddenly and not, I don't know. Anyway, it's a feeling of fear or apprehension about what's to come. So while it's normal to feel anxious from time to time, excessive or persistent anxiety can be debilitating, you know, and harmful to both your physical and mental health. Fortunately for me, you know, like I said, this isn't normal. It really only happens when I go out of town or if I have been like way too stressed or maybe eating poorly, which, you know, I just got done telling you that I did not eat my normal way. So maybe that was it, you know, this weekend, the alcohol or the food, it's just stuff I don't normally eat. So maybe that was part of it. Anyway, anxiety leads to physical, mental, and emotional effects. So here are some of the physical effects of anxiety. Increased heart rate and blood pressure. Okay, anxiety triggers the release of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, which can raise your heart rate and your blood pressure. And I'm going to actually throw into here too that blood glucose levels rise as well. So the whole trip, I've been telling you guys that I'm wearing this glucose monitor lately to track. And the whole trip at night, my blood sugar was elevated like all night long. And this has not been a normal thing for me at all. So, you know, obviously blood sugar goes up when you eat, you know, like starchy foods, or maybe you're not eating balanced. So for me, you know, I was eating things I don't normally eat. So I thought that was probably it. But I noticed when I go back and look at the graph of my blood glucose levels, at the times I was waking up in these like panics, I was having huge spikes of blood sugar. So I just think it's so interesting, which, by the way, then, you know, goes to heart rate, which goes to blood pressure. It all works together. So I was having some actual physical effects. And you can too when you're feeling anxiety. Also, muscle tension. Chronic anxiety can lead to tense muscles, which causes headaches, back pain and just other physical discomfort. Okay. So have you ever had like, you know, something happening with work, or you have like, you're just super stressed out and you're having anxiety about getting everything done. You might notice like your shoulders hurt, or you have a headache, or your neck might hurt, or your low back might hurt, or your feet might hurt. That is all part of anxiety. It can also lead to digestive issues. So it can disrupt your digestion, like actually slow the digestion or stop it, which can lead obviously to stomach aches, diarrhea, and even constipation. Okay. Now, also having anxiety for a long time, like if you've been having this for years, prolonged anxiety can weaken your immune system, which can make you more susceptible to just getting, you know, sicknesses like the flu and colds and things like that. But it can also lead to other autoimmune conditions. So it's really important to figure out what's going on so that you don't, you know, make yourself sick from having so much anxiety. And then also sleep disturbances. Anxiety definitely interferes with sleep, which leads to insomnia or the fear of not being able to sleep, or just overall poor quality of sleep, which, by the way, further, you know, exasperates the anxiety. So you definitely, you know, when you have anxiety and you can't sleep, then by being sleepy the next day, you're just going to more likely have more anxiety. And it just like is a cycle. It's the same with like the muscle tension, the digestive issues. They all just kind of cycle together. So we got to figure out the thing to stop the pattern, stop the cycle. Okay. Now, mental and emotional effects of anxiety are, well, constant worry. Okay. Anxiety can lead to persistent and excessive worrying about just all kinds of various aspects of life. Okay. So, you know how I talked about, I woke up and I was worried about the dogs and I worry about, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. But when you're worried and you have anxiety, then it just creates more worry and more anxiety, more worry, more thinking, more, you know, in your head. Okay. It can create difficulty with concentrating. So it can make it really challenging to focus on any like one task, or it can maybe hard to make decisions if you're, you know, feeling a lot of anxiety. It can make you irritable. Okay. Especially if you have chronic anxiety where you're just having it all the time, it can make you super irritable and just easily agitated. And then that, you know, snapping at people or arguing with people or always feeling in a bad mood and, you know, can create more anxiety. Feelings of fear or panic. So anxiety disorders or just anxiety in general can cause sudden feelings of fear or even panic attacks, which can be overwhelming and debilitating for a lot of people. Now, I don't know. I don't think mine were panic attacks overnight. But I definitely had like sudden fear, like sudden doom, it was really bothersome. Okay. Avoidance behavior. So anxiety can actually lead to avoiding certain situations or activities or people that trigger anxious feelings, which can limit one's quality of life, right? So I even said it to Brian, you know, it's weird because I felt so bad. And I felt bad because I like didn't want to like complain on his birthday weekend. But I was like, I don't even know if I want to go out of town for a while because it felt horrible. And I don't know if it was because we weren't home. I don't know. I'm not sure. But like I can see the whole point of avoidance. I'm like, man, like I don't really want to go anywhere for a while because I just felt so unsafe and so not myself. And again, it was probably a mixture of reasons for feeling that way, but I can see why, you know, avoidance would be a thing. Now, I want to talk about how nutrition plays a role in just overall mental health, including anxiety, because anxiety is related to our mental health. So there are several aspects of nutrition that can impact your anxiety levels. And I've already kind of mentioned some, but I think it's important to talk about these. I do meet with, you know, a lot of people, when I'm first meeting somebody as a nutrition coach, you know, I at first don't really know them that well. So we have a lot of time to get to know each other. And as we work together, I learn more and more. And it's almost like, you know, peeling the onion. It's like each layer, we get a little deeper. And then I can really like see why people eat certain ways, or I can see why they feel a certain way after watching what they eat. So It's amazing how nutrition impacts our entire life, our, you know, mental, physical, social, relational, all of that. So here are some of the ways that it impacts our anxiety, which leads to all those other things I just mentioned. So blood sugar regulation. I've been talking so much about this for years, but really, especially lately, I've been really honing in on it since I'm personally tracking my own blood sugar just to show you guys, which, and by the way, that's why I'm tracking my blood sugar. I don't have diabetes. I don't really have a main super reason. Other than just wanting to learn and watching my Hashimoto's, but really it's just so I can share information and it's just fun to me. But anyway, fluctuations in blood sugar levels can contribute to feelings of anxiety and irritability. And I have experienced that. Okay, I already told you that. So consuming a diet that's high in like refined carbohydrates and sugars can lead to rapid spikes of blood sugar and crashes. Okay, so this quick spike in blood sugar can make you feel irritable, jittery, can make you feel anxious. And then also the crash can do the same thing. So when you're not eating balanced, okay, and you're eating a lot of sugar or a lot of high carb foods, then you're gonna have this experience of this roller coaster of increase, drop, and it can really increase your anxiety. So it's critical to focus on balancing your meals. Remember, dress up your carbs with protein, fiber, and fat to keep a more balanced blood sugar level, which will hopefully keep your anxiety at bay as well, or it could be a part of that. The other thing is micronutrient deficiencies. So, you know, we have our macronutrients, which is the protein, carbs, and fat. And then we have micronutrients, which are the like vitamins and minerals that are essential for proper brain function and neurotransmitter like synthesis. So deficiencies are, you know, not having enough of nutrients like magnesium, zinc, B vitamins, omega fatty acids. These have all been linked to increased anxiety levels. So consuming a balanced diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables, lean proteins, whole grains, and healthy fats can help ensure that you're getting an adequate intake of these essential nutrients. So you may even need to supplement some of these, especially if you're a picky eater or maybe vegetarian, or maybe, you know, you're dieting and so you're maybe not eating as balanced or as well or not enough. So you may need to consider supplements, okay? Now, another area is gut health. Gut health is something we could probably have several podcast episodes about, but the quick version here is the gut and brain axis is a bi-directional communication system between the gut and the brain, okay? So what that means is your gut talks to your brain and your brain talks to your gut. So they talk to each other about like digesting your food, absorbing, are you hungry? Are you full? So, you know, a lot of research suggests that gut health plays a crucial role in mental health, which includes your anxiety. So a balanced and diverse diet that includes things like probiotic rich foods, yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi, some of these kinds of foods can support a healthy gut microbiome, which may in turn positively influence your mood and anxiety levels. So also part of the gut health is avoiding foods that may cause inflammation for you. So remember, I told you that this past weekend I was eating dairy and I was drinking beer, which has gluten, and I was drinking good beers. So it was probably a lot of gluten. And because it's something I don't normally do, it's very likely that it was creating more anxiety for me since my system was probably a little shocked. And it's possible that I was having a little bit of inflammation from these foods and my system was probably like, what is she doing to us? It's delicious, Ryan. It's delicious, but you're killing us here. So anyway, gut health can play a major role in your anxiety. And then that leads to inflammation. So chronic inflammation. So when I say chronic inflammation, I mean inflammation that you've had a long time versus just acute inflammation. Acute inflammation is like when you roll your ankle and it swells. But chronic is more systemic. Okay. And it's been, so chronic inflammation has been implicated in the development and exacerbation of anxiety disorders. So consuming a diet that's high in processed foods, okay, which is like packaged foods, cookies, crackers, diet food, also eating unhealthy fats and having a lot of sugar can promote inflammation in the body, which potentially worsens your anxiety symptoms. Okay, and on the other hand, an anti-inflammatory diet rich in whole, nutrient-dense foods like fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and fatty fish can help reduce inflammation and support overall mental health. And like I was saying, if you have any foods that you're intolerant to, or allergic to, or foods that just you notice bother you, when you remove those, it will help your inflammation, which then hopefully will in turn help anxiety. Okay. Also, two big things that a lot of people consume create or make anxiety worse, and that's caffeine and alcohol. So both caffeine and alcohol can make anxiety symptoms way worse in some people. Caffeine is obviously a stimulant that can increase your heart rate and trigger feelings of nervousness or jitteriness, especially in high doses or in people just that are sensitive to its effects. Alcohol, on the other hand, is a depressant that can initially provide temporary relief from anxiety, right, or make you feel good, but may ultimately worsen the symptoms, which can disrupt sleep and contribute to your feelings of depression and anxiety, like either the following day or in the middle of the night. So, I think I know why I was having anxiety, right? I was drinking really good coffee in the morning. Okay. We love coffee. So we were having like more than one coffee in the morning. I definitely was drinking water, but probably not all of the amounts that I normally do. Okay. So maybe a little dehydration, which isn't one of the tips or, you know, one of the things I was going to say, but dehydration can make your body not feel in balance, which can create anxiety. But also the alcohol, you know, especially drinking gluten-filled beers, that kind of thing. So the combination of the alcohol and the caffeine and the gluten and the dairy and, you know, well, my blood sugar was a little bit higher than normal too. All of that pretty much explains why I was having anxiety. So if you're doing this, if you're somebody with anxiety and you're listening to this right now, think about some of those nutritional things that we just talked about. Like, are you actually creating more anxiety with the way you eat? I mean, possibly, right? So it is very important to make these dietary choices that support stable blood sugar levels, provide your essential nutrients, promote gut health, reduce inflammation, and minimize the consumption of substances like caffeine and alcohol that can make your anxiety worse. Okay. So let's just move on. I have a list. I don't know how many are here. I just made a list. I just like brain dumped a bunch of things and I'm going to go through them with you. They're like tips to reduce anxiety and maybe some daily habits to help you lower. So we're going to reduce, lower, or just manage your anxiety with some of these tips. All right. So first up is practice deep breathing. Okay. By incorporating deep breathing exercises into your daily routine, you can activate your body's relaxation response and it can help reduce anxiety. And I'm super excited because soon I'm going to be offering whole courses in breath work. And it's going to be so amazing for anybody with anxiety or just any other emotional situations, which by the way, when you get that under control, it's easier to eat better. It's easier to move better. It's easier to lose weight. It's easier to manage your Hashimoto's or autoimmune disease. It's easier to manage menopause. It's just great. So a lot of people think they need to change their physical first and then work emotional. But maybe if you've tried that for years and it's not working, then maybe we're going to flip it and work on our emotional side first, which might then filter into your physical. So keep an eye out for that because that will be coming late spring, early summer. Super duper excited about that. So anyway, I want to say too that in the middle of the night, you know, when we were gone and I was having these anxiety attacks, I was doing that. I have learned these breathwork patterns And so I did do that and it did help me get it under control. So deep breathing is a great thing to do if you're feeling anxiety, and you just got to remind yourself to do it. You just got to like slow down and just do it. It only takes 90 seconds to reset your sympathetic system. Okay. Which gets all jacked up when you have anxiety. So take just 90 seconds to deep breathe. And I promise it will help. You can go in through the nose, out through the mouth. Long and slow is going to lower that parasympathetic system to help calm you. Okay. The second thing is stay active. You know, engage in just regular physical activity to help release endorphins. Okay. Remember, endorphins are kind of like your happy hormones. It'll help reduce your stress hormones and lower your anxiety levels. So lifting weights, going for daily walks, it doesn't have to be something like killing it at boot camp or killing it at spin class. It could be literally just going for a walk every day. Like if that's what you have time for, do that. You don't have to be doing it all or be perfect at being active. Just move your body. Get adequate sleep. So it's super important to prioritize good sleep hygiene, okay, to ensure that you're getting enough rest. So we all know, as we talked about, having lack of sleep just is going to make your anxiety worse, okay? The more tired you are, the more likely you are to be anxious, and it's just harder to control your emotions. So stick to a consistent sleep schedule and create a relaxing bedtime routine. If you hate your bed, you're just not comfortable, then do something about it. Either get a new bed, change the sheets, like do something about it. Like don't just complain about it. Don't just like think it's annoying. Like actually do something, because your sleep really matters. If it gets too hot at night, turn on the AC, open a window, take off a blanket or change your clothes. If it's too light in your bedroom, use a sleep mask or cover up the lights or like, you know, do something about it. Get like the dark window covering, something to help make it easier to go to sleep. Take the time and the effort to create a good sleep environment to help you get better sleep. It's that important. And not just for your anxiety, but for if you're trying to lose weight and you're not getting sleep, well, it's going to be harder to lose weight. If you're, you know, trying to, you know, move up in your career ladder, getting sleep is going to be important so you can be focused and have your brain ready to go and like be your best. So there's many reasons to get a lot of sleep. This next one, I need to listen to my advice, limit caffeine and alcohol. Reducing the consumption of caffeine and alcohol, okay, is really important, as we were just talking about earlier. So you can opt for like herbal teas or decaffeinated beverages instead. So I've got to say that I notice on the days when I drink more than one good cup of coffee, when I say one good cup of coffee, I mean like one decent size mug of coffee. If I have more than that, I do notice at night, like no matter how early in the day I drink the coffee, I tend to have more anxiety or just feelings of overwhelm and maybe just a little bit harder to go to sleep. And that has happened just in the last probably 6 months. It's like as I'm getting older, getting way more caffeine sensitive. So if you haven't considered that, think about it. It might be happening to you too. And of course, you know, drinking alcohol seems relaxing at the time, but really, since we know it's a depressant, it just is going to increase your feelings of depression or make your anxiety much higher after you come down from the buzz. So just be mindful of like the amount that you're drinking. Also, practice mindfulness. So it's really important to incorporate mindfulness, okay, into your day. So mindfulness just means like instead of just like flying through your day, going from one to-do task to the next and not really paying attention, just slow down for a minute. Like slow down, pay attention to what you're doing, enjoy the process of your day. Because, you know, this week's going to go by and then the next month is going to go by and then a year is going to go by and then you're going to be like, what happened to my life? Well, when you practice mindfulness and start even paying attention to the mundane tasks, you're going to appreciate your life even more. Okay, so there's a quote that I love that says, if you were depressed, you were living in the past. If you were anxious, you were living in the future. And if you are at peace, you are living in the present. And I think a lot of people, I just love that, but I think a lot of people feel like they have to wait to feel happy. Like they need to wait till after work, or they need to, you know, wait until they can get home and take their tight pants off and get comfortable on the couch with a glass of wine. Like, no, I mean, you can appreciate every moment of your day if you're just mindful. There's always something you can be grateful in the moment, and practicing mindfulness is one way to do it. And it just might reduce your anxiety. Okay. Something else to consider is setting realistic goals. Okay. A lot of times we overwhelm ourselves with too much to do. We expect way too much of ourselves. We are human and we can't do 87,000 tasks a day. And, you know, it's okay to like have a brain dump in the morning, like write down everything you need to get done, and then pick one to two things that are a must do to get done. But so many people write down, you know, 100 things on their list. And then at the end of the day, when they've only accomplished 4 or 5, they're mad, overwhelmed, anxious. And, you know, it just doesn't help us in any way. So set some realistic goals for your day. Okay. Break tasks into smaller, manageable steps and set realistic goals to reduce your feelings of overwhelm and anxiety. And so I'm not even talking about weight loss goals. I'm talking about like the goals you have for accomplishing things each day. Okay. Something else that I think is super important is seeking support. You know, talk to a trusted friend, a family member, or get a therapist. Okay. Or get a breathwork facilitator, or get a coach, like get support from others. Okay. They can help provide perspective, some validation, and might offer some coping strategies. So I think that's really important to not do it alone. Okay. Whatever is going on in your life, there's always somebody you can get support from. And, you know, I'm here if you ever need support. You know, I absolutely am always willing to at least talk to you and see if there's a fit somewhere where I can help you. So just remember that, please. You can establish a routine. This is major. I think a lot of people who have anxiety are people who are just winging their days, flying, you know, by the seat of their pants. You don't know what to eat in the morning, don't know what they're going to do, can't remember their appointments. And I'm going to pick on my daughter, but she is probably the most anxious person I know, and she refuses to use a calendar, like a calendar, like to put your dates on or your things. You know what I'm talking about? A daily calendar with like the times on it. What is it called? I don't know why I'm having a hard time. It's a calendar, but there's like a name for it. But anyway, like an appointment book type thing. So that is really something that can help if you know what's coming. Remember the quote earlier said, if you're anxious, you're living in the future. Well, if you don't know what's coming, you're going to feel anxious. But if you have it written down, then you can like allow your brain to relax because you know that it's written down and you're not going to forget it. So I also love for people to do this at night. You know, it's not just about like having a calendar that you go by every day, but even right before going to sleep, I recommend this to all my clients is to, you know, brain dump anything that's on your mind or anything that you're worried about tomorrow, write it down, or even just visualize your day, watching yourself like a movie, going through the day, and checking off the things you have to get done. It's going to help reduce anxiety when you know what to expect. So establishing a routine is a great way to help reduce anxiety. Sticking to like a consistent daily routine, including like when you're going to eat, when you're going to exercise, when you're going to go to sleep, you know, what you need to do can really help. This predictability will help reduce uncertainty, which can alleviate anxiety. Also, practicing gratitude. I kind of said this earlier as I'm going through my list. I'm like realizing how many of them kind of go together. But, you know, taking time each day to reflect on things that you're grateful for, which can help shift your focus away from anxiety inducing thoughts and can cultivate a positive mindset, is super important. So just practicing gratitude, appreciating the moment, being mindful, limiting screen time. Limiting your screen time helps set boundaries around your screen time. So, you know, especially like things that are super anxiety producing, like news and even social media, even though there's a lot of fun things on social media, like, you know, watching how to decorate your bathroom or a recipe or watching like funny things. Like I like this thing called I don't remember what it's called. I think it's called Dad Jokes or something. I think it's hilarious. I love some of that stuff. Like, I love to scroll and like watch some of these. However, I also can tell you that every single time I'm scrolling to look at the things I enjoy, something always jumps out at me and makes me annoyed, frustrated, and creates anxiety. And a lot of this is due to the comparison mode, right? Like, we see somebody do something and we're like, oh, I should do that. Or, oh, they do that better than me. Or, oh, they look better than me. And even though we know in our brain, we know that that's silly and that we shouldn't compare, we do it. We do it. So this, therefore, creates feelings of anxiety. So by limiting how much time you look at your screen, like your phone or social media or the news, is a good idea. But also, you know, I hate to say it, it's like, I've mentioned this before, like, I don't watch a lot of news. And, you know, that's good and bad. On one hand, it's good because I don't feel the anxiety. It's bad because I'm not necessarily as informed about like politics and things like I should be. But, you know, just finding a happy medium in there where you feel informed yet not overly like consumed by it. Okay. So another one is just doing something fun, like a relaxation activity, like reading. I just joined another book club. I say another because I keep failing them. I keep failing them because I don't read the book in time or I'm not able to attend. So I haven't been kicked out, but I've dropped out of many book clubs. So I'm trying it again because I really, really, really love reading. So I feel like if I'm in a book club, then it'll force me to read and then I'll be forced to go have fun and drink a glass of wine with my fellow readers. So I'm going to try it again. Next week's the first meeting. So we'll see. But, you know, reading a book, listening to music, taking a warm bath with essential oils or Epsom salts, or spending time in nature to relax and wind, you know, sit on your back deck, take your dog for a walk, snuggle your cat, you know, whatever. Find activities that bring you joy and just make time for them regularly. Because we live once, you guys. Like, if you're never happy, you're never slowing down, you're never doing something you like, then what's the point, right? Like, work's always going to be there. There's always going to be something to do. Like, slow it down. And I think this is something, as you start to age, you start to realize, you know? Okay, I'm getting there. Stay connected, you know, maintaining connections with your friends and family and just loved ones, even if it's through like a Zoom meeting, if they're not close. That can be really helpful just to stay connected and feel supported. Also, here's two more. Practice assertiveness. So learning to assertively communicate your needs and boundaries is really important, because nothing is more stress-inducing or anxiety-inducing than having an opinion or having feelings and not being able to communicate them or say them assertively to the people that need to hear it. So it's really important to learn how to advocate for yourself and prioritize your self-care. All right. So I see this a lot. I've lived it a lot of like keeping my mouth shut, like not wanting to like rock the boat or ruffle feathers. So I just keep it in. But all those years of just keeping it in, keeping my opinion to myself to be polite, all that did was create anxiety, overwhelm, frustration, right? And now speaking out. So watch out. But and then finally, healthy eating habits. Okay, I already told you why and how some of the nutrition habits can create more anxiety. So make sure you're eating a balanced diet. You're having some fruits and vegetables. Don't be scared of fruit. I know everybody's so scared of fruit because it might have some sugar, but it also has micronutrients, okay? Whole grains, lean proteins, healthy fats, and avoiding, you know, too much caffeine, sugar, and alcohol. All right, so anyway, I hope this has been helpful. If you are somebody who experiences bouts of anxiety or someone who has chronic anxiety, I hope you'll really like think about some of these areas. And maybe it's not new to you, because my tips are pretty general, but I really can't stress enough how much your nutrition and movement can impact your anxiety levels and your just overall happiness. Then, you know, add in some of this inner work. Okay, I've done episodes about, you know, a lot of mindset work, inner child work, this breath work that I'm doing more of. Working on this part, this inside our body part, you'll be amazed how much your quality of life improves. Okay. So thank you so much for being here. And if you're feeling generous today, would you mind just taking a moment? I mean, I think it takes less than 2 minutes to subscribe or follow the show. Like if you're listening on Apple or if you're listening on Spotify or wherever, you can go in and actually hit follow or subscribe. And that really, really helps the podcast get like filtered out to other people. Have you ever looked at a podcast and then below it has like they recommend other ones? Well, you know, to get that part to be recommended to other listeners, and you have to have followers and you have to have ratings and reviews. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this for me. I really do hope that more people will find this podcast. So you could just help me just a little bit by subscribing, rating. It really helps and it really matters. So I really appreciate it. And that's all I have for you today. I will be back next week, and I hope that you have a beautiful, restful, mindful, anxiety-free week. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to the Balanced, Fit, and Free podcast today. Remember, while we've explored incredible tips and insights, none of this is to replace personalized medical advice. Always chat with your trusted physician or healthcare professional before making changes based on what you've heard today. Stay inspired, stay curious, and keep striving for that balanced, fit, and free lifestyle. Until next time, take care and keep thriving.